Welcome to Path to Peace with Todd Perlmutter. I'm your host, Todd Perlmutter. Our world is a projection of our collective consciousness. The more peace we bring into our lives, the more peace we bring into this world. So let the transformation begin. Dealing with difficult people in our lives can really be one of the most difficult things that we go through. Unlike grief or separation, divorce, or these major life crises, difficult people is that death by a million cuts. Oftentimes, it's these people we have to interact with regularly that really get under our skin. Of course, there's the difficult customer or pedestrian on the sidewalk we walk by. But it's those people who we interact with over and over, and we have to see, despite every cell of our body telling us to get away from these people. Now, of course, if it's possible to change jobs and we're able to do that, that may be an option. The unfortunate problem is that difficult people are everywhere, and it's hard to know where they will pop up. Oftentimes, it can be months into a job. We find out that someone has a particular bias or idea in their head about us, or just a person who is unable to control themselves and does not have access to the kindness and compassion they have within them. It wasn't nourished the same in every house. And so dealing with difficult people is inevitable. We live in an imperfect world. We do not teach presence or kindness in our schools. And so we are going to have a great deal of unhealed people in this world. And that includes ourselves, because dealing with difficult people hurts us. And so it's essential to recognize that innate capacity to be difficult ourselves, and to recognize how our ego speaks to ourselves and speaks about others. Because so often our ego is a difficult person, and it is always insulting other people, insulting ourselves, always complaining. It would be the worst customer on any flight or in any store if we all spoke every thought that popped into our brain. And this actually is not a bad thing. In fact, this is our window of opportunity. This negative voice in our head, which we all have, it's part of our survival instinct to predict danger and to avoid it. And unfortunately, in our mostly danger-free modern society, what that means is we are always negative, complaining and anticipating every single stress and frustration in our lives. So we're living those stresses before they even happen. But here's why it's an opportunity. When someone is difficult, and we day after day have to hear their complaining or negativity or whatever it is that is incongruous with ourselves, it is essentially no different than having a voice in our head constantly complaining and being negative. So the ego, that thinking part of our mind, the stream of thought in our head, is our chance to practice. Now, we don't want to practice reacting in any way to that voice in our head. The practice is neutrality. We are going to practice not taking words personal, and we are going to practice over and over again to observe opinions. In this case, our own, because that's what we have access to, and it is a perfect opportunity to practice 24/7 with that inner voice. And we're used to agreeing or disagreeing. We're used to maybe even agreeing to disagree or agreeing to simply part ways. But we almost never practice neutrality. And this is where true freedom comes, because we are not chained down to a yes or a no. We are not locked into a position or an extreme. And we flow without resistance to the universe around us. And it is in this neutrality that we see truth, that we see reality for what it is, that we see an unkind and difficult person for simply a person who is not in a great place mentally right now. I mean, that is clearly what anyone is showing us when they are acting in a way that is disrespectful, disharmonious, and disrespects themselves. So start to pay attention to that voice. And start to listen without agreeing and believing, and without disagreeing or creating a position against. When it is self-critical, don't try to deny that by changing the subject and saying, no, I'm great. Instead, just allow it. Just be aware. Practice simply residing in the seat of awareness, the seat of consciousness, which is simply perceiving. Our reaction is not necessary all the time. In fact, choosing to react either with joy or with stress is not necessary. And we can sit in an inner centered peace that does not change because our external situation changed. And the more we do this and develop that skill and practice of neutral witnessing, especially with that critical voice, with that voice that all of our closest loved ones and relatives know will push our buttons and really set us off. And by practicing over and over non-reaction, just with ourselves, especially on those sensitive topics that we're insecure about and that we are critical about ourselves, then no difficult person can even compare to us having made peace with that most difficult of person who is always in our ear, always negative, and always stirring up trouble. Remember that you get to consciously write your story. And I want to give a perfect example. Let's say you are learning a new language or a musical instrument. And the mental story can be, wow, I am terrible. I am never going to get this. This is so hard. I'm not smart. Maybe other people have a gift for this, but not me. The other story is, I'm brand new. I'm supposed to be terrible. Everybody's terrible when they're new. I am no worse or less talented or less able than anyone else. And if I put in the work, I will see the rewards because this is how my life has been. And so here we have a story. Someone is terrible at piano. But the story matters. not the skill. And how this applies to difficult people is we may have insecurities. We may have things that we are terrible at. In fact, I am a horrible rocket scientist. I am just the worst. Do not put me next to a rocket. I will not even know the first thing to do. I think large cylinder and gasoline or something like that, but that's about my rocket science knowledge. So if someone were to criticize me on that, that would be fine because I don't identify as a rocket scientist. And I don't judge myself or derive my self-worth from my ability to put a man in space or a woman or anyone. But simultaneously, if I was 95 years old and I've been obsessed with rockets my whole life, and I am still the world's worst rocket scientist, but I have been pursuing my passion and trying on nights and weekends for every year of my life, and it has been the most wonderful life I could imagine. Again, this is an ability to tell a different story than I am a bad rocket scientist. And my point is that whatever a difficult person tells us, whatever our ego tells us that it knows will sting the most, that is not how we have to choose how to frame our story. And we can consciously, with intention, with our heart, create a story that honors our truth. And this is something I talk about a lot in my book, Finding Your True Self, A Love Story. Because when we know who we are, deep down, when there is no doubt, when our thoughts, words, and actions are in total alignment, when we are able to hear our heart and our gut, as well as our mind, all insecurity and self-doubt that could ever be triggered by a difficult person disappears and falls away because we are so firmly committed to ourselves, to our true selves, and we know who we are, and we know what direction our life is going, and we don't put up with nonsense, and we don't allow other people's framing of our story to pollute our temple, which is this body and mind. When someone is living their truth totally and fully, a lot of people who are living lives based on what other people thought they should do or what they thought would look good to other people, people who are living a life for someone else, who are not living a life true to themselves, they will make fun of and not understand a person who is living true to themselves. But a person who is truly living life on their terms will not be bothered. And this is really how we reach a place where we are living so much for ourselves that not only do we not care what negative, difficult people think, but so many more wonderful people, easygoing people, will be attracted to our energy because we've been putting it out instead of trying to suppress it. The more time we spend with ourselves, the more time we just put away all the distractions and really spend time with ourselves. We can be looking out the window, but we are in touch with our thoughts and our feelings, and nothing is distracting us. And we are able to give our inner world as much attention as our outer world. This is how we begin to know ourselves. This is how we begin to hear the subtlety of our intuition and instincts. It roots and grounds us in the here and now and with our entire being. We process all of yesterday's stress and difficult people, and we don't allow it to come into today, and we let it go. And this is how we don't accumulate every negative experience in our lives leading up to disease and mental illness. We need to witness, process, and let go. And by doing this over and over again, then those difficult people no longer can make us tip over into rage. And we can stay centered, even when we have that daily interaction that is just killing us slowly. We have to make sure, first, we are able to process and heal the past, and then work on how to stop taking on that new stress. And there are two ways that are phenomenal for doing this. Number one is craving criticism. For anything that causes us stress and turmoil, the only solution is to learn to love it. And it is not hard. And I don't mean seek it out, and I don't mean hope for it or try to make it happen. I simply mean that when we are in a situation with a difficult person, when our blood is boiling and we are full of rage, we can love that. And here's how. A difficult situation is an opportunity to grow. And it may sound like a cliche, but every single negative experience that I've had, I have grown from. It has not just tested my patience, it has expanded my patience. And the more I look back and see the growth that came from every single difficult situation, every challenge and every obstacle, the more I am able to, in a moment of difficulty, love it right there and instantly transform that challenging moment into a moment I'm grateful for. We truly can love pain for making us stronger. We can love difficulty for making us grow. Every single experience in my life that I wished would not have happened, that I wished to go away, that I felt I would not survive and I wouldn't wish on anyone, showed me a strength that was available to me that I never knew existed. And as life goes on, I am more and more able to find the beauty and overwhelming, miraculous nature of these most difficult times in our lives. My own tears of pain can bring tears of joy because of the awe-inspiring richness and depth and variety of experience we get to have in this infinite universe. So crave criticism. Crave feedback that makes you smarter. Even if it's just to know that you're standing in front of a raving lunatic who shouldn't really be trusted to be giving great feedback right now. We are just the witnessing peaceful presence, even though we've mistaken ourselves for our ego. That sensitive voice in our head that is so large and paints such a huge target on itself for it to get so hurt and so offended and so upset when dealing with difficult people. But our true self can let those arrows deflate that ego and just watch the beauty of the universe unfold in all its wonderful blessings and all its wonderful lessons. The second incredible technique for dealing with difficult people for me is to remember that energy speaks louder than words. And what I mean by that is when someone's really being difficult, the words that they are saying are not really what the interaction is about. It's not really what's going on. What's really going on is maybe this person got divorced, or maybe they had a tough childhood. Maybe they just ran into traffic and spilled their coffee. Whatever it is, there's never a good excuse to scream at the lady at the airport who is just trying to put you on the next flight because yours got rained out. And so since we know it's not the plane and it's not the woman behind the desk, it's not her fault or his fault, we need to remember to stop listening to people's words and start paying attention to their energy. When we notice someone's angry energy, we aren't paying attention to their mean insults. When we are noticing someone's stress and frustration, we are not listening to their profanities. And so it is essential to really listen to energy, because that's the truth of a difficult interaction. And more important than what you say is to speak with your energy as well. And so we are projecting, if we want to diffuse and escape a situation, we are projecting calm, warm energy, agreeable energy, and then kindly exiting the situation. This is especially useful when it is a situation where we don't have to interact with a person for a very long time and we're able to minimize that interaction. But diffusion and escape is an incredible skill for many situations where we find ourselves, where we find someone's getting emotional and we can tell that things could really explode if we don't diffuse the situation. So instead of hearing disrespectful comments, rude behavior that we would not tolerate, pay attention to their energy instead. Watch their body language. Put all of your focus on simply noticing the other person, not how their words affect you. This diffuses yourself as well. This prevents you from taking on new stress. And this will give you the ability to respond in ways that will help them deflate their balloon, which is about ready to pop. And I think the best way to do that is to truly, with your energy, show care, concern, and compassion. This really does work for children and adult children. And when you are in this loving energy, you diffuse a situation, you bring calm to them, you make them feel heard, they feel cared about and concerned, and then you can say, I am so sorry, but I really have to go now. Be well. The more we fight back, the more we react unconsciously, the more we elevate the situation and ramp up that combative energy. And it will explode if something doesn't intervene. Our ego won't want to defuse the situation. It will want to fight because it is the one being attacked, but it is not in control. You are in control, and you have the ability to create the most desirable outcome that is possible for you in any situation. It just takes practice and intention. You can do it. Much love. You have been listening to Path to Peace with Todd Perlmutter. Being here and putting in this important and noble work is one of the greatest gifts you can give yourself and others. If you found this podcast even a little helpful, please make sure to leave a review so it can reach others who may be in need. And remember, the path to peace starts with a single step.